It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. We are here today to reflect on qualifying for the second round of the season. And yes, it was indeed your boy Tommy, Max Verstappen, being relentless and trying really hard and doing all of his homework and getting pole position by quite a large margin in the, the general conversation of Formula One qualifying. This is a big margin, 0.3. But we had lots of other interesting talking points up and down the grid. So it definitely made it still an interesting quality to watch.
Indeed. The fight for P2 was once again epic. I feel like it's going to be another one of those seasons potentially where we're like, imagine if Max wasn't there, we'd have a three-car battle for pole and three-car battles for the win and all this kind of stuff. But Max is just unstoppable right now.
Well, one day, Tommy, I don't want to use imagination. I want to see it. How about those apples?
Yeah. Come on, Max. Sign that Mercedes contract.
Oh, please. Hypothetical, of course. Now, before we dive into qualifying, there's a shout out to our Patreon, where you can get access to our private Discord, which has an amazing community. Plus, you can also get bonus episodes, ad-free listening. We've also released an episode about the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix back in 2021 in our Short View Back to the Past series. And we'd love for you to check that out. You also get early access to our P1 live show tickets and all kinds of other lovely benefits. So go and check that out. It'll be a link in the description, all over our link tree and all that good stuff. Right, let's start with Q1 then, shall we? Although, really, we sort of had a lot of news before Q1, but we're talking about qualifying, so let's talk about the star of the show, which was, of course, Oliver Bearman, who was replacing Carlos Sainz, who we wish a speedy recovery. I've heard or read that he's already had his surgery and he's now resting up, ready to hopefully, I guess, come back, fingers crossed, for Australia. But that has opened up a massive opportunity for a young driver, which we don't get to see all too often in Formula One these days, because apparently drivers don't change teams or leave the sport anymore, according to last year and to this year. But Ollie Bearman, an 18-year-old Brit in a Ferrari, making his debut with only one practice session under his belt, being flown into qualifying around one of the most daunting circuits on the calendar.
Yeah, what a dream debut. 18 years old, driving for Ferrari. I mean, this is why I'm not a Formula One driver, and he will have that mentality of, you know, wanting to achieve more. But whatever happens in his career, he has driven for Ferrari. Like, that is an incredible thing to happen even now. And he's just 18 years old. It's incredible. Incredible.
It really is. When you say it like that, that's pretty awesome. So maybe they'll call me up next time. But yes, Ollie Bearman, of course, stepping in. You say dream. I don't think it's a dream have to negotiate 27 turns of the Jeddah Corniche circuit as your first outing in the 2024 Ferrari Formula One car. But it's definitely close to being a dream, I would say. And Ollie as well, I think, showing his mentality that is not like ours by apologising when he got 11th and looking like he was genuinely quite disappointed with not making it through to Q3. But he was only, I think, 0.6 off in Q2 when he was knocked out. Like, that's how close it was between Verstappen at the top, I think, with a 28.0, and then Ollie Bearman did a 28.6 and got knocked out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a 28.6, yeah, very, very close indeed. It was so close to pipping Hamilton as well. Like, that would have been an even more unbelievable story than it already is.
We've skipped ahead, but who cares? Let's talk about Q1 now. The chronology is all over the place, but who cares? Out in this session was Bottas, Ocon, Gasly, Sargeant and Zhou, with no time set. I guess Alpine showcasing it was not a one-off. They are genuinely washed, and they've washed all the colours off of their livery as well, and that's not helped. And yeah, I'd still say that is a big story to talk about. They were 0.3 off even being close to making it through to Q2. So it's not like they missed out by 0.5 or something like that. They were still probably the worst team. Well, collectively, yes, yeah, the worst
they are,
team.
They are the worst team. There's a driver in there that's making them not look the back of the grid, but they are the worst team in terms of pace, definitely, so far off. I mean, if you just said that they'd be 0.3 off Valtteri Bottas in a Sauber and, 0.4 off a Haas. Insane.
And it shows as well that it is the car, because Ocon and Gasly were 0.004 of a second separated. So they were both
they're
trying to get
everything
the most
out of
they
it.
Can. Yeah, exactly. And they're no slouches either, those two drivers. So, very disappointing for Alpine. A question from Ross Bella 16. Should Behrmann replace Logan or K-Mag on the grid? I mean, spoiler alert, he made it through Q1, as you can tell. And should he replace... Well, look, we're not going to get into replacements just yet, because K-Mag's done okay these first couple of races, I will say. Like, he's done all right. But yes, I think Ollie Behrmann, through his practice sessions where he's turned up previously and done really, really well in the Haas, Abu Dhabi springs to mind, where he was very comparable to his teammate at the time. But then now as well, to have all of that pressure on your shoulders of driving for Ferrari, as we've mentioned, and to stick it 11th on the grid. Let's come on. Let's move this up. Let's move this a bit quicker, because he's not going to get many more. Well, he's not going to get any more opportunities apart from this weekend to drive in a Ferrari anytime soon. So he is showcasing, if he has a good race as well, that he's ready for the call up.
Yeah, it's very good. I think it's unfair to mention K-Mag's name at the moment, because he's doing an all right job. Of course, last year, yeah, he wasn't particularly great. But so far, K-Mag's had a good season. Logan Sargeant, on the other hand, though, has not had the best start to the year. It almost seems like he's continued where he left off. The Williams is not the worst car at all. We've seen that in Alex Albon. It maybe doesn't look as amazing as it did last year. I say amazing, like, having those kind of amazing performances. But Logan shouldn't be last on the in terms of like the people that actually set a lap. So yeah, it's not looking good for Logan so far. I really did think he'd have a better year, but then that's what happens when Matt Gallagher predicts your biggest flop, eh?
Whoops. But hey, he might have a great race. We will have to wait and see. Of course, it was a shame for Joe to not manage to get a time, because that team were working so hard to fix the car that he, of course, after having that crash in FP3, caused. And he must have missed by a few seconds, because they got him out of the pits with about 1 minute 45
to the team.
Yeah, not that they would have got through anyway, because Bottas showed that there wasn't exactly much pace in the car anyway. And he's only, a few places behind his teammate. But yeah, a bit gutting for Joe for sure. And that pretty much sums up Q1 stories, really. Let's go to Q2 now then. And of course, we have mentioned it. Ollie Behrmann misses out by 0.03 seconds, making it through to Q3, and would have knocked out Lewis Hamilton, of all people. And that would have rivaled a story similar to when Lawson knocked out Verstappen, isn't it, really, when he yeah. came in at Singapore. But still, an incredibly great performance from Ollie. And a question from Senior Dip. What can Ollie realistically do in the race? He has the car to definitely improve his position, and he'll be getting more and more used to it with each lap in the race. I think we have to be, we have to be sensible with our predictions and our speculations here. He has got a great car underneath him. Charles has shown that. But there is so much learning for Behrmann to do in race trim that he will be learning on the fly. Yeah, he's got a practice session under his belt and he's done qualifying, but that doesn't really prepare you for a race with 19 other cars around you and having to change all of the settings on your car, and Ferrari coming over and saying change strap mode 4.3752 and do this at 200 miles an hour whilst racing around the Jeddah Corniche circuit. It's not easy. So I think if Behrmann scores a point, it is a sensational debut, but also he shouldn't be disappointed if he doesn't.
Yeah, in a way, qualifying is almost easier because you're essentially doing one lap. Whereas in the race, that is going to be the tricky thing. These Formula One cars are insane now, how much you have to do during the race. It will be constant radio communications. I feel sorry for Ollie already, how many We Are Checkings he's going to get during the race when he's asking questions, because that man's going to need some quick answers. Ferrari can't go and disappear for 10 minutes if the guy doesn't know what buttons he needs to be pressing during the race. So we'll see, but it is going to be a tough ask for Ollie. He is, of course, in a car that's decent, maybe even the second quickest car this season, but it's not easy when you've not done any running, and he's just kind of, it's literally his Formula One debut and not had the whole of a whole day of Friday even to get used to it.
So out in Q2, I forgot to say this at the beginning, was Behrmann, Magnussen, Ricciardo, Albon and Hülkenberg. Disappointing for Hulk. I think almost to the second I had said on our Twitch live stream that Hülkenberg was 100% going to make it through to Q3 and was showing some really good pace, and then his car turned off. So disappointing for Nico, because I genuinely think he would have knocked out Hamilton. If you actually look at that, he could have been the one to push Hamilton out. But alas, his car didn't work. His pace was looking great. So I'm still hopeful that Nico can do something good in the race, because the Haas does look better, at least from Bahrain. And the evidence we have there that they have better race pace and the tyres aren't chewed up as much. But yeah, it was a shame for Nico.
It was indeed. He just needs to make sure he doesn't plough into someone at turn one. Normally, it's the kind of amazing quality performance that we see from Hülkenberg and he drops back. But despite having that problem, he's only right behind his teammate on the grid in terms of where they line up. So it's not the end of the world. I guess he's fortunate that it happened in that session.
Next question from the F1-losophy. Is Ricciardo really washed? Getting beat by Tsunoda by over 5 tenths is honestly a joke. Wow, not pulling any punches. But yeah, Tsunoda's absolutely schooled Daniel Ricciardo this weekend. And this is not what Danny Rick needs or wants if he has any ambitions to move to a bigger sister team, Red Bull, because they're not, obviously we're not going to jump any particular guns here. We're going to allow the season to progress. But right now, it's not a good look for sure, because Yuki managed to make it through to Q3. Perhaps it's more on the case of Yuki doing a stunning job and an amazing lap in Q2, which he then did translate again in Q3. And it's probably a mixture. Danny Rick not performing very well. Yuki Tsunoda having an amazing performance. I don't want to just pin it just on Daniel. I think Yuki's done a great job and that needs to be commended as well, because getting that RB into that top five team bracket is no mean feat.
It is only the second race, but yeah, Daniel Ricciardo being this far off Tsunoda is a big surprise. It's kind of no better than De Vries was at the moment, but Ricciardo has shown last year, towards the end of last year, that he was on pace with Tsunoda and would beat him, and he got that amazing result in Mexico. That being said, not had the greatest start to the year, and if he keeps putting in performances like this, like, he's got absolutely no hope of Red Bull, especially the fact that Sergio Perez is, yeah, he's behind Max, but he's doing what he needs to do in just sort of being there or thereabouts, finishing the race second, he's qualified third again. So yeah, if Daniel is going to... He's normally a bit better in the race than Tsunoda. I think that's what we've seen, the theme of it anyway. But it isn't a great look for Red Bull to see him that far off Yuki Tsunoda. And someone that is going to be looking in is probably Liam Lawson, thinking, well, I was on par with Tsunoda and was really quick and often could beat Yuki as well. So... it's probably even more painful for him to see that happening.
I'm sure those questions will be asked. I'm sure Liam Lawson's team will be on the phone at all times trying to poke the bear, but not Ollie Behrmann, the bear of the team.
The bear.
So yes, exactly. And then finally, I guess Albon, P12, decent enough performance, beat his teammate comprehensively, but that Williams just not quite good enough at the moment to trouble the top 10.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, Q3 then. And it was Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez, Alonso, Piastri, Norris, Russell, Hamilton, Tsunoda and Stroll at your top 10. Question from Dr382. Is Fernando on for a podium or are the Red Bulls and Charles too quick? I cannot see the Alonso one lap pace translating into race pace. If Bahrain is anything to go by, I feel as though he's going to have a job on his hands to stay in P4. You've got the two McLarens that have been going very quietly about their business this weekend. P5 and P6, which I think is a great result for McLaren. And they are usually, well, they were quite good in the race last week. They were quicker than the Aston Martin last week in Bahrain. So I would have to say that, yeah, Alonso's going to be driving on his mirrors, but it is also Alonso. So if he gets a great start, he'll probably be leading into turn one. So, but I think it will be difficult for him to score a podium for sure.
It will be. It seemed surprising how quick they had they were in qualifying. Then again, last race, Alonso did a great job in qualifying, probably over-delivered where that car should be. And I know Lance has really struggled in qualifying. It's always been a weak point of his career, but I don't think Aston Martin are anywhere near a position to be sort of like fourth or the second or third best team based on a lot. I think it is just Alonso's doing an amazing qualifying. He got a fantastic toe, very smart driving, which is no surprise from Fernando Alonso to do something like that. Saw Hamilton let him through at the final corner and was like, well, thank you very much. I'll have this slipstream down the main straight, and probably helped his time a lot. And it was a brilliant performance. I mean, my heart. Sorry?
I said not that it would have actually done anything because he was 2.5 tenths clear of Piastri, but it could have. It could have put him on the front row.
It was so close between Alonso and Leclerc. That battle for P2 was extremely close.
Well, you're disrespecting Perez. Poor bloke's in the middle of them.
No, that's what I mean. He was close. I'm saying he's close to Leclerc, not just
right,
Perez.
Yeah, yeah.
the fact that he was so close to a front row, which is quite mad to be 4 tenths off and almost at the front row, but then Max Verstappen exists. So
he certainly does, doesn't he? He really does. What a man. Another big talking point has to be Mercedes. They line up 7th and 8th, Russell ahead of Hamilton. You know, people saying Hamilton really slow. He ended up being only a 10th and a half off Russell. And I think, you know, again, Bahrain, we were jumping to conclusions. Well, not we, but people were about, oh, Hamilton was 9th, I think, wasn't he? And George was 3rd. And that was actually a couple of tenths as well. Hamilton's clearly lacking some confidence in this car. There's no doubt about it. I think they did quite a radical change with the setup in practice, which to then try and, you know, fix these problems that Hamilton's having with the feel of the car. And yeah, the amount of time they lost in that first sector was absolutely gargantuan. I think Hamilton was like 6 tenths off in the first sector alone of Verstappen. So it's clearly, it's starting to shape exactly how I sort of predicted when we did our 20th to 1st, where I said I think that Hamilton's going to maybe have a difficult season with the car, and he's going to be dreaming of moving to that Ferrari that at least has some significant one lap pace. And then, you know, let's see what they can do in the races. And right now, Mercedes are nearly a second off Verstappen. They're falling back, if anything.
They really are. I think with Hamilton, of course, George has had a good start to the season, but and it's not to make excuses for Lewis Hamilton, but we know
British bias.
He's British bias on Russell. but he's traditionally started the years a bit slow. Let's not forget, you know, Bottas used to win the first race alongside him, and Hamilton would take a couple of races to turn up. And I don't think it was too dissimilar for the previous years. And then Lewis, as he's got more used to the car, still showing what he can do. There was a few savage questions we got asked about, like, oh, has age caught up with Hamilton and all this kind of stuff. He's a tenth off Russell. I predicted him biggest flop because I personally don't think he's been all that great at this track, even though it's his last win. But maybe part of it is the fact that he does start the season slow, and ever since Saudi became one of the earlier races, he's not gone too well there. So he's just getting more dialed into the car, and as soon as he gets on top of it, it wouldn't surprise me that he would beat Russell. And we know that Hamilton is a lot better in the races anyway. You look at the last race with George starting third, Hamilton starting ninth, and he still ended up right near George at the end, despite a broken seat and their car problems. So don't write him off just yet.
Certainly not. I think the bigger story is that Mercedes are
not quick. Nowhere. Yeah,
that's the thing, is that there's been no improvement, at least at this stage, to getting anywhere near Red Bull. Like, Max is absolutely streaks ahead, and this is not something that I expected to continuously say year after year. You always think, oh, Mercedes will get it right eventually, surely. You know,
it's incredibly embarrassing to be behind two teams that have their engine. Like, that is shocking. That shouldn't be the case. You have such an advantage that you're making your own engine. We've seen that in this hybrid era. So for them to be beaten by a customer team is about as embarrassing as it gets, really.
Tommy not pulling any punches today. No, come on. Right, next question. What's going on with Lewis? I think we've kind of covered with you. I think that's the things that we need to focus on Mercedes at the moment. If Lewis was half a second off, 0.4, then we start to go, oh, well, you know, is he not happy with the car? Is he thinking about Ferrari? Whatever. But I don't think that's a question that really needs covering just yet. And then, of course, as we mentioned, McLaren doing great, and Piastri out qualifying Norris. And look, that's really promising for Oscar. He's kept his one lap pace and also looked much better in the race last time out in Bahrain. So fingers crossed for him. He's kind of started to figure out exactly how to treat the tyres to make sure he doesn't wear through them too quickly and Norris, you know, completely destroys him in the races. If Oscar can carry on this trajectory, Lando's got a lot to think about this season.
Yeah, Lando could be getting a bit nervous if Oscar's already doing this. I know it's an extreme track, but Piastri is the race pace that let him down, and now the last race, if anything to go by, if Oscar beats Lando in the race, that's a big statement in the second race of the year. If he does genuinely beat him on pace, quite frightening actually for Lando, and just shows how good Piastri is, and that's going to be a really exciting team dynamic this year, I think. Another thing to tick on the list of reasons to watch Formula One.
Yes, and it's a long old list that will never, ever stop being filled with new things. I'm personally really interested to see how Behrmann does tomorrow. I'm really quite intrigued to see who win the fight for P2 and lots of other reasons to tune in to the Matt P1 Tommy Twitch channel, where we watch along live. If you haven't followed us already, please go and do that. Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts are, I can't believe it's come to this, but the resident Max Verstappen fanboy on the podcast is praying for a Leclerc dive bomb at turn one to make the race interesting. I still think Max has got it in the bag, and yeah, we'll probably pass him in DRS, but it'd be nice to see a bit of racing. But even if that isn't the case, which we doubt will be, there are a lot more storylines to look forward to, and yeah, really interested to see how Ollie Behrmann does. I think that's a fascinating thing to see tomorrow.
And also a big shout out to Charles Leclerc. 7 front row starts in a row for that man. An absolute beast
really
in qualifying. And 5 straight Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc front rows, which is also quite...
That's got to be some kind of record. That's got to be a record for two people that aren't in the same team.
It's wild.
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, when you look back at these seasons on paper, you go, oh, well, Max didn't, you know, it wasn't Red Bull dominating. It wasn't that much of a domination. Charles Leclerc's up there. But I'm just glad I didn't get pole because we don't want any more of that record being extended. So, yeah,
the record's still on.
Yep, cool. And that is it. Thank you, everybody. Lots of love. See you soon. And we'll be raving about tomorrow's incredible race.
Please.
Won't we, Tommy?
Yeah.
Bye.
Come on, Logie. P1.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.